tonight we're going to be talking about thorns. Thorn is a weird word to me. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it looks like horn with a T on it. I'm not sure. But we're going to be talking about thorns tonight. The Apostle Paul talked about how God gave him a thorn in his flesh. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, it says, "For if I want to boast, I wouldn't be a fool, because I'd be telling the truth. But I'll spare you so that no one can credit me with something beyond what he sees in me or hears from me, especially because of the extraordinary revelations." Paul's basically saying he's literally heard from Jesus himself. So he's had some pretty awesome revelations. So if anybody wanted to boast, if anybody wanted to talk themselves up, Paul probably could have done it. He says, "Therefore, so I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so that I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it would leave me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness.'" We all have thorns. We've all had times in our lives, maybe they were little things, maybe they were big things. We've had those things that just really got to us, that really just stuck us in the side. Those thorns that just irritated us. Those minor annoyances or even major trouble. Paul, like I said, he could boast if he wanted to. Paul was a pretty big deal. He wrote a big portion of the New Testament. He was beaten. He was drug out of town. He even had a king surround an entire city just to get him. Paul was a pretty big deal. He had a personal revelation from Jesus, like I said a second ago. If anybody could boast, it'd be Paul. But to help him from not boasting, to help him from not being so full of himself, it says that God gave him a thorn. Now, if you look back, we don't actually know what this thorn was. Some people say it might have been his eyesight. There towards the end of his life, he even says that he had to write with big letters because his eyesight was going so bad. Some people think it might have been a chronic migraine deal, like where he constantly just had headaches. Some people think it might have even been another person. He talks about a guy who caused him great harm in other parts of the letters that he wrote to the different churches. But nobody really knows exactly. Everybody knows that it was something, though, that Paul accepted was from God to make sure that he didn't get too prideful of himself. It wasn't necessarily a punishment, but it was something to help him along. We've all been there. Something comes up, it hurts. Maybe the dishwasher breaks down whenever you've already spent your paycheck for the month. Maybe you get sick whenever you're supposed to go on vacation. That's the worst, by the way. I hate getting sick right before I go on vacation. Maybe somebody says something or does something that just hits you right in the chest. We've all had thorns. We've all had those little things that just poke at us that hurts. Tonight, that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on those thorns and why God allows us to have thorns. So the first thing tonight, I'm going to take you to Joshua chapter 7. If you got your Bible, you can go there. If not, it'll be up on the screen here in just a second. Joshua and the Israelites, they're doing really well. Lots of good things are happening for them. They're defeating everybody they come in contact with, and all of a sudden, they lose a battle at Ai. And Joshua wants to know why. As far as Joshua knows, everything's been going right. They've been doing all the right things. They've been listening to God. They've been going the way they were supposed to go. But all of a sudden, they lose this huge battle. Lots of their men die. And Joshua's like, "God, what happened?" And this is what God says to him. Joshua chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. God said, "Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant that I have appointed for them. They have taken some of what was set apart. They have stolen, deceived, and put those things with their own belongings." See, the Israelites were supposed to destroy everything. Whenever they conquered a people, they were supposed to get rid of all of it. They weren't supposed to take any of the best parts of it. They weren't supposed to sacrifice any of it to God. They were supposed to utterly destroy everything. But a couple people took a couple choice things. Verse 12 says, "This is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They will turn their backs and they will run from their enemies because they have been set apart for destruction. I will no longer be with you unless you remove among you what is set apart." Tonight, I said we're going to talk about thorns. The first thing tonight, thorns are sometimes our fault. Sometimes we mess up. Let me give you an example. You go out to your car in the morning, get in there, you put the key in, and you turn it and click. You turn it and click. Car doesn't start. Oh, God, why? Why is this happening to me right now? God, I got to get to work. Maybe it's because you left your lights on all night that your battery didn't start. God didn't necessarily kill your battery. Let me give you another example. God, everybody's just so mean to me at work. I don't understand it. I guess they're just persecuting me for being a Christian. Or maybe it's because you're not as friendly as you think you are at work that some people don't like to talk to you. I know I remember at Quick Trip, every once in a while, if you know me, I'm a pretty likable guy for the most part. I'm boasting. Good job, Cody. But every once in a while, I would get that person that didn't like me. I know, shocker, right? I would get that person that didn't like me, and I'd be like, man, what? I'm a nice guy. I'm friendly. And then I would hear later on, oh, yeah, they worked with you a long time ago, and you made them do something. Like, that's why they don't like you. They think you're mean. Something goofy like that. It's not always God causing harm to come upon us. Sometimes it's us. We're human. We mess up. We do dumb things. Sometimes that's our thorn. God's letting us get in a little bit of trouble. God's letting us have a little bit of hardship because we messed up. But the cool thing about it, through that hardship, a lot of times we can grow. God's people did the exact opposite thing of what he told them to do. He told them to do this, and they did this, and they suffered for it. If you were here Sunday morning, Pastor Lynn talked about peace breakers, things that break down your peace, things that mess up your relationship with God. One of the things he brought out was Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3. A person's own foolishness leads him astray, yet his heart rages against the Lord. If you're taking notes, sometimes it's not God. Sometimes it's us. Before we go to God and say, God, why? Why are you doing this to me? Look and make sure that you're doing the right thing. Make sure you're doing exactly what God told you to do. If God told you, hey, Billy Bob Sr., you need to be on the greeting team. It's a little plug for the greeting team there. Do it. Because it's not going to cause anything but harm if you don't. If God tells you to do something, man, get on it. The longer you wait, the harder it's going to be. If God tells you to do something, do it. Sometimes it's us, it's not God. Sometimes thorns are our fault, and God uses those to get us back on track. That's the first thing tonight. Second thing, it's like Paul talked about in that verse that we read earlier. Sometimes thorns are preventative to help us to not get prideful, to help us to not go the wrong way. Sometimes God puts up a little roadblock, a little thorn maybe, to make sure that we're going the right way. I always think about the first Star Wars movie. Now, the first Star Wars, New Hope, not that bad episode one. The first one. And Luke and Han are in the Millennium Falcon, and they're going along, and they're trying to escape the Empire. And Han tells Luke to go down and get on the gun. So Luke jumps down there, and he's all excited, and he's shooting everywhere, and he's missing everything. And finally, Luke goes, and he hits one of the Empire ships. He hits one of the TIE fighters and blows it up. And he yells up at Han. He's like, I got him! I got him! What's Han say? It's great, kid. Don't get cocky. A lot of times we get so excited when things are going right. We get so confident, like, yes! I am reading my Bible. I am praying. I am fasting. I am getting up and telling people about Jesus every chance I get. And sometimes we get like right here. But we know that confidence can really easily turn to boastfulness. And boastfulness can very easily turn to pride. It's a real thin line. Paul knew that everything within him had the right to boast. He had every right. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He knew the word. He had a personal revelation from Jesus on what to do. If anybody was going to boast, it was going to be Paul, because Paul knew he could. But that last part of verse 7 says, therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so that I would not exalt myself. I think about my son Truett. If you know my son Truett, the kid is like going all the time. He is always just 100 miles an hour. And he loves baseball. If you sit and talk to him long enough, it will eventually turn to baseball. He's a big Dodgers fan. Got so close in the World Series. But he loves baseball. And I think back to one time this last spring whenever he was playing, and we were in a game and he was doing great. He was pitching good. He was hitting good. He was on point that day. He was ready to go. And so it gets up towards the middle end of the game. He gets up there to bat, and I don't remember which pitch it was, first, second, third pitch, something like that. And he hits a beautiful, beautiful ball all the way out to the outfield, like almost to the fence. And he's stoked. He is so excited, and he's running, and he goes, and he gets to first base, and they're just now getting to the ball. And so he turns, and he goes to second, and he gets to second, look at his coach, and his coach goes like this, hold up. But he's just too excited. He just can't stop. He's all hyped up. He's like, yeah. So he starts running to third. And his coaches all know that, like, by the time he's going, like, whatever, man, go for it. Good luck. So he rounds second, and he's running. That ball comes in. Third baseman catches it, and he's out. He got so excited that he was going to get a triple play. He was just so hyped up. And then he got out because he didn't listen to his coach. A lot of times we're like that in our Christianity. Things are going good. We're seeing ourselves being the hands and feet of Jesus. It's all those things we said a minute ago. We're reading our Bible. We're praying. We're up here, Christianity-wise. And we get a little bit of a higher-than-thou attitude. We hold our heads just a little bit higher when we walk into church. And we forget what our calling is. We forget what Jesus told us to do. Paul puts it in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. He says, for by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, right here, what Paul's actually talking about is different gifts that people have in the church. He's talking about different things that people do. Some people are better prayers than others. Some people are better speakers than others. But I think it also kind of applies to us. Sometimes God puts us in our place a little bit. He gives us that thorn like he did Paul to bring him down just a tad. To be like, okay, man, hey, you're good. But this is the way I want you to go. This is how I want you to tell people about me. This is how I want you to pray. This is how I want you to fast. Sometimes God makes sure we don't overdo it. That we're not... As they used to refer back in the 70s, Jesus freaks. Those people that were just weird for Jesus. Sometimes God keeps us just a little bit back. He gives us those thorns so that we're not so over the top that people are like, dude, what is up with that weirdo? That's who Jesus is? I don't know. Sometimes God gives us those thorns to keep us on the straight and narrow, to keep us on the path that he's called us to be on. So we have a couple reasons. We have a couple reasons that we have thorns. We have reasons that God allows those things to happen to us. And a lot of times we don't want the thorns, but we can't ignore them. Paul's thorn, so it seems, lasted until he died. But I think a lot of our thorns are temporary. They're used to get us back to where we need to be. And if you've ever been stuck by a thorn on a rose bush, you don't grab the rose bush again there, that in that same spot. You don't go and try to grab it like, ow. 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 You don't keep trying to grab the same spot. So what do we do with our thorns? Do we go right back to it, or how do we proceed? It was kind of funny. We were sitting in a staff meeting on Sunday, and Pastor Steve told the pastors about this this video. It's from Bob Newhart. Bob Newhart is a psychiatrist, and this lady comes in. And he tells the lady, he says, okay, hey, just so you know, for our billing, I charge $5 for the first 5 minutes, and then anything after that is free. Lady's like, oh, cool, $5, all right. She's like, well, what if I go longer? He's like, you won't, it's fine. So, ready, go. And the lady goes, what do I say? He goes, well, just tell me what your problem is. So she says, well, my problem is I'm afraid I'm going to be buried alive in a box. And she goes on and describes it a little bit more. And he says, well, has anybody ever tried to bury you in a box? Well, no, but that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that one day I'm going to be put in a box and I'll be buried alive. He goes, okay, well, I know the exact thing to tell you. I have two words for you. She goes, well, do I need to write it down? He goes, no, I mean, you can write it down if you want, but it's two words. And he said, whenever you're ready, I'll tell you. And she goes, okay. He goes, okay, you ready? Two words. Stop it. Stop it. And every time she starts to talk about something else, he's like, no, stop it. Just stop doing that. Don't do that thing. That thing that you're afraid of, that thing that you're worried about, stop it. How many wishes it was that easy to stop doing stuff? Man, there's times where I've been like, God, I just don't want to do that anymore. Help me not do it. But it wasn't ever just a stop it moment. It'd be great if we could just stop doing the things we're not supposed to do and start doing the things that we're supposed to. It'd be great if we could stop grabbing thorns or having thorns stick us. But a lot of times it's not that easy. So tonight I'm going to give you four easy steps. Easy is in quotation marks, so just keep that in mind. Four easy steps on what we do whenever God gives us thorns. Paul lays it out for us in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read just a couple verses in here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, starts like this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone, for the Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any moral excellence, and if there's anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you've learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. That's it. That's what we got to do. So four things real quick from that. Number one, we have to get right with God. I know it doesn't say explicitly get right with God there, but it's cool. If you study the word rejoice, the way it was written here, rejoice is from the word chairo. Did you hear that in the little spinny thing? Everybody say chairo. Oh, that was weak. Everybody say chairo. Yeah, there you go. See, you guys do the spitty thing a lot better than me. Chairo, it means to experience God's grace and be conscious of it. Now, whenever we think of rejoice, we think of, woo, praise God. But rejoice here, what it really means is to experience God's grace and be conscious of it. I don't know about you. Whenever I became a Christian, when I first said that prayer asking God into my heart, I didn't feel a whole lot different. Like, it felt good because I knew I was supposed to feel good and I know I was supposed to be happy, but I didn't feel a lot different. But whenever I started having a relationship with God, whenever I started having that friendship, whenever I spent time getting to know the Word and praying and just getting into God's Word, I knew there was something different. I wanted to do things differently. I wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to be a better person. Because I knew I had Jesus inside of me. Whenever we know God, James chapter 4 tells us, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Humble yourself and he'll lift you up. A lot of times I think the thing that is the hardest for people to do is give God a chance. We go and we've said a prayer. We wait 5 minutes and nothing's different. And we're like, God, what's going on? We have to give God that chance. We have to give God that time, that love, that opportunity for him to speak to us. One of the things I've been praying a lot lately, especially when I get back in Elevate and speak to the 5th and 6th graders, is God, don't just let them hear my words. You speak to them. You speak what they need to hear. You probably heard me say it in my prayer at the very beginning. If all we do is we come in here and we hear whoever's up here talk, we're not going to gain a whole lot. We have to have God speak to us because God knows us better than anybody else. Everybody agrees with that, right? I mean, God knows you a whole lot better than I know you. God knows my wife a whole lot better than I know her, and I know her pretty well. If we don't have God speaking to us, if we don't have that personal one-on-one relationship with God, man, we're missing out on a whole lot, pretty much everything. We have to have our spirit right with God. We have to have our lives right with God. Are we going to be perfect? No. Are we going to do the right thing every time, 100% of the time? No. But when we have that relationship with God, when we're spending time with him, our lives are going to be different. Our actions are going to be different. We're going to treat people differently than we did before. We're going to respond to people differently than before. When God is inside of us, whenever we have that relationship with him, whenever we're right with him, we're going to know it because others are going to see it. It's not just going to be us. That's the first thing tonight. Get right with God. Number two, don't worry about it. Ha! Verse six, don't worry about anything. That's one of those easier said than done things. Because, you know, as soon as you say, okay, God, I'm not going to worry about that thing anymore, automatically that thing's like, hello, I see you. As soon as we try not to worry about something, it's going to be right there at the forefront of our mind. But he tells us not to worry about it. And I'm going to give you a little tip on how not to worry about it. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, this verse doesn't say it's going to be all sunshine and rainbows all the time. But the cool thing is we know how it ends. We know how all of this life, this trouble, we know how it's all going to end. God wins. Like, it's right there. It's right there in the word. God wins. And if we trust God, if we love God, we win too. All this stuff that we're having to go through, all these hard times, they're just that. They're small glimpses. And I know that doesn't make it easier. And I know I've said it to myself whenever I've been really down, and it doesn't make it a whole lot easier, but I can trust in that. I can trust that no matter what happens to me, no matter what comes against me, no matter what bad thing happens in my life, it's going to work out because I know I love God and I know for a fact that he loves me. And this Bible tells me that it's going to work out. So I have to trust in that. Yeah, I'm going to worry a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to stress about it. Yeah, I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night thinking about it sometimes. But I know that I can be secure in Christ. I know that whenever I have that relationship, whenever I trust him, that things are going to work out. Don't worry about it. Number three, pray. Sounds simple enough. Verse 6 and 7, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. You may not have heard it before. And if you have, just play along. It's going to be good. Prayer is important. Amen. Prayer is important. If you've been to this church for any amount of time, you know that this church values prayer. Every time at the end of service, these altars are opened up. We want people to come down and get into the presence of God. Not that you can't pray and not that you can't get into the word and, you know, all that kind of stuff at home. But there's just something about doing it here at church with those people that are surrounding you, that the people that love God like you love God, those people that want to lift you up in prayer. There's just something about prayer up front. It's just awesome. But prayer, you see, isn't for God. Prayer's for us. If God never heard one of our prayers, would God still be God? He would. God doesn't need us. Prayer's for us. Prayer is us reaching out to God and God saying, here you go, come on. Prayer is our chance to get in touch with a God who loves us enough that he sent his son to die for us. Prayer is a chance to get alone with the God that right here, Paul says, gives us peace that passes all understanding. Some people try to make prayer fancy. They try to use a lot of words they've never used before. They use just for God. God doesn't need that. God wants you. God wants the words you say every day. God wants to hear you say it because God wants you. God wants to know you. Or he knows you. But he wants you to let him know you. He wants you to give yourself over to him and trust him and love him. And we do that through prayer. A peace that passes all understanding. I remember a few years ago, it's been right around 8 years now. My dad had a heart surgery. He had to have his aortic valve replaced. It's the big valve on top of his heart. He had to have it replaced because he had had it replaced once and he didn't take care of it, and so he had to have it replaced again. And well, the second time whenever he had it replaced, his heart stopped, and so he had to have a pacemaker put in. Not super uncommon, but it wasn't a huge deal at the time, but it was just something extra. So he went a couple days, he went home, everything's fine, and his pacemaker stopped. It's not supposed to stop, if you didn't know. His pacemaker stopped and he fell and he hit his head on the bathtub. And whenever you have a pacemaker, you have to be on blood thinners. So my dad fell, he hit his head, he's bleeding on top of his brain underneath his skull. He didn't know it at the time, but he fell, passed out. My stepmom took him to the hospital. He got to the hospital. They were treating him in the ICU and stuff. And me and my stepmom went and we're sitting in the waiting room, waiting to just hear what's happening next. And all of a sudden this doctor walks in and he says, "Okay, so I just want to make sure you guys understand what's going on." And we were like, "No, we've just been sitting out here. We thought everything was good. We thought you guys had him patched up pretty much." They're like, "Oh no, he's in emergency surgery right now." My dad ended up being in the hospital for a little over a month through it all. He had a pretty big surgery on his brain. It was a bad deal. But I can honestly say through that time, I experienced what Paul talks about here, that peace that passes all understanding. Everything that was going on around me, everything that was happening, all the doctors coming in and out and him in the room, sitting up, completely unconscious in a chair, his head is all wrapped up and he has a tube out the top of his head. I should not have had peace in that moment. I should have been torn apart inside because me and my dad are like this. The only person I'm closer to is my wife, but me and my dad are tight. I should have been torn up inside, but I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was going to take care of him one way or another. God was either going to completely heal him, which, just by the way, my dad's completely fine now. He's a barber. He works 3 days a week, like 12 hours a day, and he's almost exactly the same as he was before. So praise God, that was awesome. But I knew that even if it wasn't going to go that way, that I could have peace because I knew my dad knew Jesus. And I knew that God was giving me that supernatural peace, that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that doesn't make sense. Whenever we trust God, whenever we pray, whenever we reach out to God, he's going to help us out. Whenever we try to be like, "God, I can't do this." People love to quote the verse in Philippians that I can do all things through Christ. And a lot of people like to say, "Oh yeah, whatever comes at me, I can do it. I can handle it." But they forget that through Christ part. God sometimes is going to give us stuff that we can't handle. God is sometimes going to give us this huge insurmountable task that we can only do with him. Through Christ, we can do anything. Through Christ, we can have that peace that passes all understanding. But it has to be through Jesus. We have to pray. Not so God can like level up and get more powerful, but for us. We need to pray because we need God. We can't do it without him. Make sure you pray for your own good. Number four, we're going to close here in just a second. Dwell on the good stuff. This is my favorite part. Verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there's any moral excellence, if there's anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. It's easy to think about the good stuff when things are going well. But when you're being poked and prodded by thorns, it's easy to lose sight of all the good that God's done in your life. I've been talking a lot to the Elevate students lately about why we serve God. Why do we serve God? Well, because we go to church and we're supposed to, and that's what mom and dad told me to do. We have to know for ourselves. And that includes all of us. We have to know personally why we serve God. If we serve God because the pastor gave a good sermon on Sunday and it sounded good and it made us feel good, man, we're missing out. God wants us to have that personal relationship with us. He wants us to know why we love him. He wants us to know why we serve him, not just because we have an obligation to or because we don't want to go to hell one day. We have to know why we love God. What has God done in your life? One of my favorite stories from the Bible is in Joshua chapter 4. God just brought the whole nation of Israel across the Jordan, and Joshua made the people stop to set up a memorial for God. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just want to read a little part. If you haven't ever read this story, it's great. Joshua chapter 4, mark it down on your hand, in your mind, whatever. Go back and read this later because it's awesome. But I'm going to read just a couple verses out of there. Joshua chapter 4, verse 20. Then Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones that they had taken from the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your children ask their fathers, 'What is the meaning of these stones?' you should tell your children that Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the water of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over it, just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea." Joshua didn't set this memorial up for God. He didn't say, "Oh God, here is a great monument for you. Yay." He set it up so the people would remember what God did in their lives. It's important to have those things that you can hold on to, that whenever you're at your lowest of low, you can be like, "God did that." Just like we sang earlier, "I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe that you can do it again." Hopefully in your life you've seen a moment that you can look back on and be like, "That was God. That was God. There's no other way that could have happened. There is no way my dad should have survived what he survived. But I saw God's hand throughout all of it, helping him along." We have to dwell. We have to think. We have to remember what God has done in our lives so that when we're being pricked by thorns, we can get back to where we need to be. Man, God loves you. If nothing else, God sent his son to die for you so that you could have a relationship with him. Not one day in heaven. Yes, that's coming. But right now you can have a relationship with Jesus. Right now you can have that friendship that is better than any friendship you've ever had in your life. Proverbs says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I remember me and my brother fighting a lot whenever we were younger, but me and my brother are pretty tight now. We talk quite a bit about stuff. But as tight as we are, I know that I have a God that loves me more and cares about me more than my closest brother.